Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Get that out of here!
This is the Minnesota Tim Podcast. Wednesday morning. I haven't been back for a week. And I think it's because the show is just so much more fun with Jake, and it truly is. But I have been sick for about 4 or 5 days. Fever Saturday, fever Sunday, grinding, feeling miserable, taking that Dayquil and NyQuil. And then you got the leftover cold on Monday, Tuesday, and I got the remaining remnants of the cold Wednesday morning. But I could not avoid Jake's takes time after being up for 2 hours last night with our daughter who would not sleep. 2 o'clock in the morning, guess who's wide awake? Little baby Zoe. But I could not resist the draw, the inspirational, the bearded Jake's takes. Jake, welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel great.
Good. You get a good night's sleep?
No, I you can hear in your voice there's a little bit of nasalness still happening. So would this be known as like your flu podcast then, or is it kind of, we'll see, like, do you rise to the occasion to perform, or is it going to be like more, I'm trying to think, maybe like Carl Anthony Towns trying to fight through like a stubbed toe perhaps, where he just quits? I don't know. What kind of player are you going to be in this podcast?
That's a good question. I'm not really feeling like Michael Jordan, and I'm not really feeling like Carl Anthony Towns. So I'm feeling somewhere in between, you know, maybe who's a good example. I don't know. I can't really think of one. So maybe I'm worse than Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. That was a great moment to think of something entertaining and funny for our listeners. But yeah, it was a empty silence there.
It was an empty silence. Maybe that's what the show is going to be. It's an empty silent show.
So maybe I have to be the one to pick you up, and like, I'm the Scottie Pippen holding you up.
Fill in the blank. You're my fill in the blank. So who am I today?
I don't know. I was thinking about that too. I was kind of, if you couldn't tell, I was procrastinating to try to think of a name that would be funny.
Yeah. So then you threw it to me to try to think of a name.
Right. Exactly. It's a
classic. So when you couldn't think of it, that was classic. That was a smart play. You couldn't think of a name. So you threw it to
me. Then I ripped you for not knowing a name, even though I'm still sitting there trying to think of a name.
Oh my word. That's hilarious.
It's Radio 101, Tim.
That's true. I mean, man, you are a professional, man. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I wish I was a professional like you.
You'll get there someday.
Okay, I hope so. I really, really do hope so. Oh, man. So the Minnesota Vikings are 10-2. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a new segment today called Fill in the Blank. The Minnesota Vikings victory there's our mistake already. And I actually have a soundboard for this, okay? Have a soundboard. Ready for this?
I'm sorry. Try again.
The Minnesota Vikings victory against the New York Jets made you feel
happy. I'll go with happy. This is like happy. PTI, by the way. I always like this segment when they do it on PTI, and then Tony Kornheiser just goes off on something. Anyway, no, I'll say happy because it was just kind of a fun game to watch. Again, was it pretty? No. Did it instill a lot of confidence in the future? Absolutely not. Did they end up winning a kind of wild and crazy and entertaining game? Yeah, they did. So happy is, I guess, the first word that came to mind. What about you? The Minnesota Vikings win over the New York Jets. Should I make this sentence longer so you can keep thinking about a word you want to say? Okay. The now 10-2 Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins at the helm defeated the New York Football Jets with Mike White throwing for like 800 passing yards. And if you had to use one word to describe it, that word would be.
Oh, That's the word. No.
That's a good word. I thought about that.
Yeah. I will say that's the word. The word is, you know, it's like a happy toad, like a happy toad. I was encouraged and discouraged at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins played pretty poorly.
Yeah,
and I think that was one of his worst games of the season outside of the Philadelphia Eagles game. I don't really think he played terrible in the Cowboys game because he's getting sacked all game long. So
yeah,
I think necessarily that was him. You know, Kirk Cousins, but he played bad. But this is the good part of the bad. Okay, he was making the right pass. He was finding the right receiver to throw it to.
Yep.
He was just not executing that pass. The player was trying to throw the pass to was the player to throw the pass to. Like TJ Hockenson when he's wide open by 5 to 10 yards. He just overthrew him by 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of out routes to Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson where they were open, but he just overthrew them by 5 yards. Again, he was making the right throw, but he was just like a little bit off on the execution of those throws, which – I mean, statistically, he didn't have a terrible game. It was like 4.9 yards per throw, which is pretty bad. 21, I think, for 3,500, and it's like 79 yards, a touchdown and no interceptions. And he made the throw when he needed to make the throw to Justin Jefferson, which was huge in the end zone for the touchdown. So that's my reaction to Kirk Cousins' game. Do you have any thoughts on it?
No, that sums it up pretty well. I think... The biggest thing that Vikings fans need to prepare themselves for is I feel like we keep hearing kind of like, just wait till everything comes together. We're still not clicking. We're still not clicking. We're not a full head of steam just yet. Just wait till all the pieces line up, right?
Yeah.
Now, we are a 10-2 team, or they are a 10-2 team. So they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have, all you got to do is make playoffs and you have a shot. And then you can beat the Eagles and the Cowboys. It could work out. But between the offensive line issues with, the, you know, Darisaw being out is light, night and day with how our protection is.
Yeah.
So you got to hope he comes back, which he should, but you never know with concussions and head injuries and stuff. And then the defense. I feel like that more and more is becoming the bugaboo that they talk about. It's just wait till we figure it out. Just wait till it comes together. Wait till our guys. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's you can only be the 32nd ranked pass defense for so long and say, let's wait till we figure it out. I mean, it's getting to the point where now if your first round opponent is the Seattle Seahawks, are we not so sure Geno Smith might carve up this defense and all of a sudden there's a first round upset? Now, I know that's fatalistic and Minnesota sounding because that's just what we do. But the point is, right? You'd hope that at least you could be, I get you're not going to be top 10, whatever, who cares, but you should at least be a little bit higher than the worst, I would hope. The 32nd best team in pass coverage is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. The Minnesota Vikings defense, I mean, they gave up, what, 370,000 passing yards to Mike White in that game or something like that.
Yeah, he threw 58 times.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess for a quarterback that throws 58 times, I mean, I hope you have 300 yards. I mean, so a little bit of a defense for the Vikings defense. They gave up so many yards, and they gave up so many yards every single week, so that wasn't really any different. But they had the goal line stand in the fourth quarter. They had the interception in the first quarter, I think on the first possession of the game against Mike White.
Yep.
And then they had the interception at the end in the fourth quarter. Cam Bynum jumped in, and the offense wasn't helping them out at all in the second half
until
they delivered on that late touchdown pass. So third quarter, the Vikings offense couldn't deliver again for whatever reason that is. And I just want to think about that for a minute, too, because so many people are harping on the Minnesota Vikings offense like they're supposed to score in every single possession. They scored 27 points, and they had a lot of three and outs in the third quarter. But my thought is, and I understand there's rhythm, and I want to hear your takeaway from this. If you get a first down and you punt, it's not a whole lot different than having a three and out and then punting it away. So it's kind of like the same thing. And but statistically, it just looks worse because it's a 3-0. What? I don't really get the difference between the two of those.
There's not. It's just the 3-0. It's easier to track, right? That's a stat that they keep. They don't. Well, I'm sure they do probably good stat everything in professional leagues. So I'm sure there is a stat somewhere deep in the interweb that they keep track of how many 1-and-outs do they have, right? Or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But you're right. That's not public knowledge, really. That's probably something they just keep. But yeah, there's no really difference. Get that 10 yards isn't going to matter. The momentum still goes to the defense when that happens. But if I remember right, in that third quarter, that was when we had the third and or the second and two and we missed Hockenson, right?
Yes.
And then on third and two, we took a sack. And then the next drive, too, we had it was second and four or five, and I think we took another sack. So it's, I don't know. I think the offensive line getting hopefully back put back together would help a lot of that, but it does seem to be the third quarter is a constant struggle. And I mean, halftime in the NFL, obviously I've never been in a locker room in the NFL.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. Yes.
Well, just wait. Your time is coming because
correct. I'm not saying that
word is out
so far.
Word is out. Yeah. Okay. That's a good humble approach.
But I feel like the average fan likes to talk about, oh, the halftime adjustments.
Yeah.
I would imagine, like, they are so prepared, right, from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, they have so many different people who their full-time job is to scout other opponents. They write up all these reports. They know every player inside out, what they like, what they don't like, what they had for dinner, right? Like, it's all these people's full-time jobs to make sure they have that information. I don't think too often does a team come into halftime. So the Jets weren't coming into halftime going, wow, this is all brand new. We don't know what the heck is going on. Like, they do probably little tweaks like, hey, we thought we might have this kind of outside running zone play that we thought we could exploit the Vikings defense on. It's not working. Let's try a few different plays. Like, they might make little tweaks like that.
Yeah.
But and maybe that's the adjustments. That's maybe all people are talking about. But I just, the halftime adjustments thing, I just don't think
they're not overhauling the game plan.
Right. They're not overhauling the game plan. They have 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, to talk to their team. By the time they get to the locker room and talk, like, there's not that much that can be said or done. Like, I just think that's an overblown fan thing to point to that we don't know why it's happening. You know, there's not really a logical reason why the Vikings suck in third quarters.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know.
It's one thing to recognize during this battle to beat the New York Jets at home. I think they had a 17-point lead, 20-3.
Yep.
So the Vikings were in control early, control throughout most of the game, and just became a little shady in the fourth quarter. So despite not playing well defensively in terms of passing yards or offensively with Kirk Cousins not playing his best game, they were still very much in control of that game throughout the game. Just at the end when they almost blew it. The point
and they beat a playoff. I mean, the Jets are like kind of a play. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. The Jets are a legit team. Their defense is amazing. They got, I don't know, arguably the best quarterback in the league. I don't know who the best quarterbacks in the league are anymore. Maybe Darius Slay from the Eagles. But the Sauce Gardner guy sure has a good reputation for being one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Does.
They got that Quinnen Williams guy on their defensive end. And they just got good defensive
statistically, players. They were a top six defense. So,
yeah. So the Vikings beat them. And they've beat some good teams so far this year. The New York Jets, I'm referring to. And the Vikings have too, obviously. But they beat the Bills as well. I think they beat the Dolphins at home. I think they were without Tua, though. But the Vikings beat the Dolphins without Tua. So there's just. The Jets did bring some goodness to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't just like the Jets of old where we should have blown them out and we choked. It was playing a legitimate team and you really put the hammer down early and then, right, you let the Jets come back. But it happens a lot of times to a lot of different teams, right?
Yeah.
The parody of the NFL says, you know, unless you're the Vikings playing the Cowboys, like, a lot of teams do make comebacks and at least make things interesting a lot of the time. So you're right. There is something to be said that they did beat a legitimate opponent. I wasn't trying to, you know, diminish that part of it. They did squeak out the win. It's just the holes that with the way people talk about it all coming together. I mean, it's week 12, week 13 now or whatever it is. Like, some of those holes I think are going to stay holes, and we got to figure out how to potentially try to put the duct tape over the hole for the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree. And I think a lot of people are saying, just wait until the playoffs and the Vikings are going to get exposed. So I think people are coming from both ends. I think the first quote of just wait till it all comes together, I think that's coming from the homer and coming from Kevin O'Connell and coming from the Vikings staff. And then you get the opposite side, just wait until the playoffs, and then the good teams that made the playoffs are going to expose the Minnesota Vikings defense, and it's going to be a one-and-done exit in the divisional round, and you're going to say goodbye to an incredible season very early on in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. When at a minimum, though, as a fan, it's been just fun to watch, which really, obviously, like, we want to see Super Bowls. Like, that's like every fan like wants that experience. But at the end of the day, if they end up being 14-3 and they lose in the second round or the first round, well, the first round would be kind of sad, but still, we'd have 17 weeks of this was pretty fun to watch.
Yes.
You know, so like at a minimum, like if I'm looking at it strictly from an entertainment point of view, like most of my Sundays, I've enjoyed sitting on my couch watching the Vikings game because it's just been an entertaining game back and forth. Dramatic comebacks, you know, crazy catches. Like, it's just every week there's some interesting little flavor they're giving us, other than, I guess, 2 weeks so far. We're pretty boring, but worked out for me. One of them was Monday night, so I just went to bed. The other one was the Cowboys game, and I was at my friend's house for a party, so we hardly watched it anyway. So
it was a good game.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm 10 for 10.
Yes. Oh, man. Okay. Fill in the blank number two or number three. I think we're on number three right now. Justin Jefferson for MVP is
unrealistic.
Yeah.
Ding.
Ding. Yeah. I was looking for a ding, but I don't have a ding yet.
It's like as he says it, right? Like when it goes up on the screen.
Yeah, I need to update my
soundboard.
Soundboard, yes.
There you go. Unrealistic. Now it makes it sound like whatever I'm saying is a joke.
Well, I mean,
yeah, it is.
It's not.
So unrealistic. It's a quarterback's league. It's the same way. Like, and you saw the Heisman. There was four quarterback candidates, or finalists, I should say. NFL's the same way. It's Jefferson would have to break some records and do some things that have never been done before to even be considered. I think I heard he's up there, like he's tied. He's in the top like 15 or something like that, and he's tied with Kirk Cousins in odds. But like, it's just not going to happen. It's going to be Burrow, Mahomes, or Fields. It's a quarterback league. The odds of a wide receiver, running back, or defensive player winning it are just so low. You have to be so special. So. Is it like, should he be in the conversation? Probably, because he has single-handedly won us some games. And he's probably one of the biggest reasons that we're winning games offensively, obviously, or is the biggest reason, I should say. Because Kirk, like, if you look at his stats, they're not great, but Justin Jefferson's pulling up great stats without Kirk, you know, lighting it up on the scoreboard. So yeah, should he be considered? Yes. Is it very unrealistic that he could ever win? Yes.
If you were handing out the MVP trophy, would you hand it to Justin Jefferson? Or would you hand it to Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or whoever?
Yeah, I think if I remember right, I saw Mahomes is on pace to break the yardage record.
Yeah.
I feel like right now it would be hard not to give it to Justin. Justin Fields. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Don't give it to Justin Fields. That's a bad choice.
I thought you were going to say Justin Jefferson.
No, yeah, that's why I was saying Justin. Then I was trying to say Hurts, and I combined Jalen Hurts. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Jalen Hurts would be hard not to give it to. I mean, the Eagles are going to finish as probably the one seed. Like, his stats are good. He improved a lot from last year. So I just think that's the easy choice. You could go Mahomes just based on his stats. You know, doing all that without Tyreek Hill is pretty insane. I was watching some of that game on Sunday, and like Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropped like three passes, and it's just, the receivers he's dealing with are not good.
Yeah.
They're good. Obviously, they're NFL players, but relatively speaking, to the Tyreek Hills of the world.
Yeah.
So I'd go Hurts, though. It'd be hard not to at this point, unless something crazy happens.
I have one more point to make about the Vikings, but do you think Jalen Hurts is a flash in the pan this season, or do you think he will replicate it the following season?
It's hard to say, because like we saw Lamar win an MVP a couple years ago, and his passing stats the last 2 years have completely dipped back down. So the year he won it, because he's that's with Hurts too. He's always going to have that rushing floor as a rushing quarterback. He's going to be able to create extra first downs out of his legs. But the year that Lamar won MVP, he was also throwing the ball down the field like crazy. He had a ton of passing yards. And that last, like I said, this year and last year, he has not. You know, look at Lamar's stats this year. He has a bunch of games with less than 200 passing yards. He has multiple games with less than 2 passing touchdowns. Like, so to your point, he was one who looked like this guy's going to be unstoppable. He's going to be able to pass for 300 yards. He's going to run for 100. Like, no one's going to be able to stop him.
Right.
And suddenly, I don't know if it's teams or it's him. So more than likely, Hurts, with those scrambling quarterbacks, their passing stats seem to dip. Like, they have a little peak, but it's hard to maintain that year after year after year.
Right.
Compared to the Mahomeses and the Burrows who just throw it all over the place.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll have to see with Hurts. He looks like he could be different, but you watch Lamar 2 years ago and you would have thought, no one's ever going to be a better quarterback than him. And suddenly it changed really quick. So
there's a reason why he has got that contract extension, right? There's a reason why Baltimore is maybe a little bit hesitant to deliver that to him. Especially, I mean, now he's injured and who knows how long he's going to be. I don't know the severity of the injury, but it sounds like he might be back soon. But as a running NFL quarterback who puts himself in position to be injured, similar to Jalen Hurts, although I think he avoids injury or avoids hits most of the time. I would agree, though, that I would give the MVP to Jalen Hurts as well. But I do think it's a little flashy in the pan. Before the season, people are thinking that this is a proven year for Jalen Hurts. They didn't really know who he is going to be. The Eagles got a good roster. Can Jalen Hurts deliver? Can he be the quarterback that steps in and becomes a franchise player for the Eagles? And we'll see. This was a little Randall Cunningham-ish. Obviously, Cunningham was at the end of his career. Jalen Hurts is at the beginning of his career. But this feels a little Randall Cunningham-ish in 1998 when he led the Vikings to 15-1 with Moss, Carter, and Jake Reed. Just seems a little flashy in the pan-ish. The last point I wanted to make on the Vikings. So at the end of the game, this is the television show, What Would You Do? What would Jacob do? And I think I know what you would do. Okay. I'm going to predict what you would do after I share my take here.
Okay.
It was 3rd and 6. And the Vikings just got their goal line stopped. They got 4 yards. So they moved off the goal line a little bit. Dalvin Cook rushed for 4 yards. Jets burned 2 timeouts. Vikings take 10 seconds off the clock in those 2 plays. Got a chance to end the game. And the Jets have a timeout. You can either run it, allow the Jets to use their timeout, and punt it away with lots of time left on the clock. Punt it to about, I don't know, the
50, 40, if you're lucky, maybe. 50, yeah.
Right, yeah, somewhere along there. So, I mean, they're pretty close to scoring range already. Or you can get the first down, end the game, kneel it twice. Kirk Cousins isn't having his best game, but he's always stepped up to the fourth quarter this year. You risk interception. But you also could just dump it down and, you know, if there's nothing there, dump it down to Cook. He gets a yard or two, and it's the same as a run, and it's an easy completion. I want the Vikings to go for that first down. I watched the Bengals-Chiefs game, just the final 5 minutes of that game, and it was 3rd and 11. The Bengals had the ball. A little bit of a different situation because they were at the Chiefs 40, and the Vikings are at the
Jets, they're on like 5 yard line.
At their own 4 yard line. So a little different situation there, but it was 3rd and 11 and they threw it. The Chiefs had 0 timeouts. So if they dropped the ball, that would have gave the Chiefs a chance to take the lead and win the game. Game's over. What I think Jacob would do, The Bubble Bob Dagger. If you were the offensive coordinator, the Bubble Bob Dagger. It was third and something. It was third and long, wasn't it? Against your former team, the Watertown Bear Royals. And you did the Bubble Bob Dagger. I wanted to see the Bubble Bob Dagger come into play for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, because we did exactly what the Vikings did. We were on our own, like, you know, 6 or 7 yard line. We ran it twice up the middle. We lost some yardage. And that was the choice we had to make. And I think you're right. I think the Vikings should have done the same thing, especially when you have a tight end like TJ Hockenson. That's kind of, you know, between Hockenson and Jefferson, and really, honestly, even Thielen as a possession guy, that's kind of his bread and butter, is getting open in those kind of first down situations, right? He's not as much of a downfield kind of threat, but when he's in short spaces, he can really create space and go get the ball. So you're right. I would have loved, because really, I know the one timeout obviously does matter on there. The Vikings, you know, have an incomplete pass and the Jets save their timeout, that is big, obviously. But you saw, I mean, without the timeout, they easily strolled down the field and got to within touchdown range anyway. So I don't know that the timeout was something to be concerned with. So yeah, I agree. Going for it and having, because you got to have a play in your playbook that you feel confident in as a third and five kind of play, that, hey, this is a good one to get us a first down. Not every time, but, you know, we think 80% of the time this play is going to work, whatever, you know, percentage they think it is. So they got to have a third and five play that they like. Because worst case scenario, too, I mean, I know it was the 4 yard line, but Kirk's pretty mobile, too. As long as he doesn't take a sack, right? Or in the safety, I should say. He could take a sack and, you know, lose 1 yard if he's kind of scrambling and dives down to make the Jets still use their timeout.
Right.
So, and honestly, a safety doesn't obliterate you either, because we were up 5, right?
Is that right? Yep.
You know, so yeah, obviously that's not ideal. But also now you're only up 3, but you're punting and the Jets have to get into field goal range. Like, then you're into overtime. Okay, like life goes on if it's a safety. It's not like a game-ending kind of play. You can still buck up and play some defense and just kind of reset, try to hold them to a field goal or less, you know? So I agree. Being aggressive in that situation, because especially with the play they ran anyway, it was that weird, like, toss play that almost kind of ended up as a safety anyway. Like, Dalvin had to scramble just to get out of the end zone. Like,
yeah,
it was a weird play to, if you're not going to be aggressive, that was a weird play to call anyway. So. Yeah.
I have a drop for great takes.
And he drops the sledgehammer.
That was a great take.
Thank you.
Yes. Are you worried about the Lions game?
Yeah. That's what
Yeah.
No, I will. It's insane to me. The Lions started at the Vikings -1, if I remember right. I think the Vikings were favored by 1 point in Detroit. And it's shifting to Detroit. Like, people are betting on Detroit. I don't know what it is currently, but I want to say I thought I saw somewhere it was Lions by like 2 points or something like
that. Get that out of here!
No, I think that's ridiculous. Like, the Vikings are the better team. They're 10-2. Like, I don't know how many 10-2 teams are not favored against a 5-7 team. But could that being said, could the Lions absolutely still win this game? Well, Yeah. Like, the Lions offense has been looking good. They've won like, what, 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 games, something like that. They must be 4 out of 5 because they were 1-6 or something like that. Yeah. They were 1-6. Now they're 5-7. So, and they beat the Packers. They beat the Bears. They beat the Jags. They beat somebody decent in there too. And they gave the Bills a good run on Thanksgiving. So they're obviously playing very well. They have their offense is clicking. Their defense isn't great.
Yeah.
But so if you have any Vikings or Lions in fantasy, that's probably the weekend to start them. You can start Kirk Cousins this week and probably get a lot of points. And Jared Goff is a streamer. Am I scared? Absolutely. That they certainly could lose. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cam Dantzler revenge game last year at Detroit, gave up the final second touchdown to one of their wide receivers. So maybe I think Cam Dantzler is going to be back this week. I think O'Connell expects him to be back, coming off the IR with an ankle injury. So that'll be good for the Vikings defense, because it sounds like the Evans fella is out again with concussion. Robe of the week. Who is your robe of the week for the Minnesota Vikings before we finish off the pod?
I have a better question. Who is your robe of the week?
Who's my robe of the week?
Here we go. Tim's robe of the week is blank.
Is. I'll give it to Cam Bynum. I like me some Cam Bynum. And
okay.
There's not a player that necessarily stands out to me, but at the end, when the Jets were driving, I thought they were going to score a touchdown. It just felt like things were going their way, and the Vikings couldn't figure out in the second half. And my thought was they're going to catch a touchdown, and the game was going to be over, and the Vikings were going to have zero timeouts, and it just wasn't going to be a pretty end to a ball game. So, and I was just kind of like waiting for that overreaction from the fan at the end, like, "Oh, the Vikings turn." It's like it's so funny how an interception at the end, or a touchdown at the end, completely shifts the future forecast for the Minnesota Vikings. You know what I mean? It's like, the Vikings are Super Bowl contenders now that Cam Bynum intercepted, but if Mike White found a guy for a touchdown, oh, is the Minnesota Vikings season over? It's so funny how one play completely shifts the narrative for a team. Mm-hmm. So I'll give it to Cam Bynum.
I'll give mine to the defensive mastermind, Ed Donatell. I think he blitzed once all game, played that shell defense, and if his goal was to give up 500 yards of offense and still win the game, he executed the game plan perfectly, right? That bend but don't break. Let's let him into the red zone as many times as possible and then come up with dramatic stops. So he made the game dramatic, so I'm going to say Ed Donatell.
Are you making fun of Ed Donatell?
No.
Are you sure? You can be honest.
Yeah, I am making fun of Ed Donatell. Is it too late now to say sorry? No, it's not. Well, it's not too late, but I'm not going to say sorry.
He's just immortal!
It just seems like he's got some stuff to figure out, as we've talked about, began the podcast with, you know, they got to figure that out a little bit more, how to get a little bit more pressure on the QB, but
the bend don't break.
Yeah. It's like, well, I'd prefer to not bend either. Like, but right now we're, you know, bending every single way, every single game. Somehow, let's try to not bend every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I'd be okay with that. The Vikings defense struggles against good offensive lines. Yep. And they destroy bad offensive lines. That seems to be the trend of the season.
Maybe we'll end with this quickly. Did you see the new London Spicer, Randy Moss lateral?
Yes, I reached out to the head coach and I'm trying to get him on the podcast tomorrow.
The new London Spicer coach?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I saw that play. It was incredible.
Nice. Yeah. I thought of you because I feel like you're just a big Randy Moss pitch to wolf. Like, that play seems like something like that you... I mean, all Vikings fans remember that play, but like, I don't know why. That just screamed Prochka's watching that at their house going nuts.
Here's a question.
When Randy Moss did it, and then obviously the London one was a nice homage to it.
My dad and I were discussing this. Who was the hero of that play?
Because you could really argue the quarterback, because if that throw is anywhere off, that doesn't happen.
Yep.
The kid actually made a nice catch because he kind of had to like go up in traffic to catch it.
Yeah.
The corner played pretty good defense. And then the wherewithal, it'd be interesting to know, maybe you'll find out tomorrow, if it was supposed to be a hook and ladder, if the quarterback was actually trying to throw it to him, because for a second it might look like he, because the 81, if you didn't know, the one who received the pitch, he's their best receiver by a mile. Like, he's a stud receiver.
Killed Watertown.
Oh, yeah, I guess you were there. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, so yeah, he's a great receiver. So I got to know if that was on purpose, if they were trying to not target 81, but then pitch it to him. It'd be interesting to know what they were told, or if it was just kind of made up on the spot and they got lucky, or I mean, obviously it was lucky kind of regardless, but skill involved too, of course. But yeah, it'd be interesting to know what the conversation was like. But yeah, receiver has to kind of go up and get it out of the air, and then the pitch was perfectly timed. Yeah, that was,
I would say, the hero of the all three facets play was the guy who pitched the ball. And I feel bad for him because 81, I think his name is Christensen, runs into the end zone, and everyone jumps on him because he ran into the ball with the end zone. He ran into the end zone with the ball.
I was with you. I'm still with
you. You were not in a way. You're all about that. Yep. And everyone jumps on him because he scored. And everyone celebrated. I was like, I feel bad for the guy who pitched the ball, because how many times do you see guys fall to the ground with the ball in their hands? It's like, dude, The game is over. Why did you fumble the ball? Do something.
Right.
Get rid of the ball some way, somehow to extend the game. And that guy had the wherewithal to pitch it. What do you think of that word? He had the wherewithal to pitch it to Christensen to run into the end zone. So that guy was my hero of the play.
Yeah. I almost gave him the robe of the week when you asked me about the Vikings robe of the week. But I was like, well, we'll just quick talk about it after. So he gets our robe of the week. The extra robe of the week, just like the pop culture robe of the week or the non-Vikings robe of the week.
I like it. I like it. That's good. Great idea. Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of the Jake's Takes Tim Peroshka Minnesota Tim podcast. Take care. Have a great week. Jake, thank you for always delivering on Wednesday mornings. We appreciate it. Everyone, take care. Stay safe. Do not get sick like me. And don't forget to run into the ball with the touchdown. Have a great week.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.